flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Rolling along on this purplish, pinkish Valentine's Day morning, 7 o'clock, 96.5 The Fan, Fesco, Nathan, Dusty with you today.
It's weird out there today, right?
It's awesome.
Like, go look at the sky if you get a chance real fast. It's like this bright pink.
It's great. Really fitting the theme. From the 913, happy Valentine's Day to you, boys. You showed me how to love sports talk radio. Appreciate you, Bob and Dusty, Alex and OZ.
There you go, Alex. Love you, man.
Can I get a happy Valentine's Day to my beautiful wife, Riley, and my two boys, Kai and Crew?
You got it. There it is.
There you go. For the 417, happy first ever Valentine's Day to my new granddaughter, Andy. What an amazing blessing she is. And go Chiefs. I'm over it. Let's go Royals. It's going to be a great year, and we will watch the great comeback next year when we win the Super Bowl. There's some love. From the 702 at 703, good morning. The last time I texted in to wish my wife happy birthday, Ron Hughley sang her happy birthday. I probably was here when he did that. So happy Valentine's Day, Britt. Thanks for 10 awesome years together.
A decade. There you go, Britt.
That's right. A decade together. So go make it 40
it's a
more.
Long time, man.
How long have you been married?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
08, we got married. And so now you're asking me to do the math. 15, 17 years now?
Carry the two.
Yeah. 17 years. This will be 17. Yeah, right? I think. Yeah, something. Yeah, 17. Yeah, five. Yeah, it'd be 17. Yeah.
This is from my wonderful stepmother, Mary. She says, I want to tell your dad, happy Valentine's Day, and that she loves him.
Is she quite contrary? How does her garden grow?
I don't know, but his name is Kurt. So happy Valentine's Day, Kurt from Mary. Get your ass out of bed and listen to the radio, Dad.
Yeah, come on, Kurt. Jeez, I thought we bonded over Jimmy Buffett. You're still sleeping?
Oh, you guys bond over way more. I guarantee you that. He's like the older brother you never had. He'd just go back and forth with baseball. He'd be like, you remember the 79 Giants?
I don't know.
You're a real buzzkill. Speaking of buzzkills, the article you sent me yesterday, crazy comments from a Chiefs quarterback coach. Who says it's hard to coach Patrick Mahomes.
I mean, this is as stunning an article as you will ever see. And I don't know that Joe Blamire is going to be having a happy Thanksgiving this year, but he's the quarterback coach for the Kansas City Chiefs. And I guess during Super Bowl week, he was opining to ESPN about how difficult it is, quite frankly, to coach Patrick Mahomes. And we'll read these comments. And I read these yesterday. My initial reaction was, why don't you go coach Daniel Jones and see how difficult coaching truly is? You've got Patrick Mahomes here. Mm-hmm. And for anybody to have any sort of what appears to be a complaint about the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs that works for this organization, there's a lot of other you can go coach Kyler Murray at some point. So here's this quote. It makes it so much more stressful. You feel the burden Gruden as a coach and as you're putting a game plan together to not waste his abilities, to not go through a season where you don't give him the opportunity, to not screw it up as the coaching staff. So rather than feeling like this is just unbridled excitement that we could do anything, it's actually more like a terror, like we cannot be the reason that we screwed this guy up or this team up. Blamire went on to say, are we utilizing him the best? Are we giving him the stuff that he needs? It's just constantly second-guessing ourselves just so that he has everything he needs to go be himself. And I read those comments and I'm thinking, you're second-guessing what you're doing with Patrick Mahomes? You are wondering if you're giving him what's necessary to win, and coaching him is actually more like a terror in his words than the fun that it should be in coaching Patrick Mahomes. I don't think anybody would ever say coaching Patrick Mahomes is actually more like a terror than anything else. And I think those comments by Joe Blamire are kind of like, I'm taken aback by that and wondering, could he continue being the quarterback coach in this organization if he has comments like that? And if you are coaching scared, then that is a big problem, and we probably need to bring somebody else in who isn't going to coach scared. You can't coach scared, because if you coach scared, we see what happens like on Sunday. You get run out of the building.
Yeah, I do kind of see that narrative of kind of like coaching on eggshells, I guess, where I don't understand how it would be like tough, but I understand like maybe if you would have like worded it differently, like there's a lot of pressure that comes with coaching Patrick Mahomes, because you do have a great athlete. But also, like, what's the matter, man? Your balls fall off? Like, it's okay to talk to your teammate. Like, as long as you're a professional.
Yeah.
Like, hey, get your head out of your ass. Like, that's one of those things where it's like, I mean, Mahomes does it.
Yeah.
Mahomes pulled Rashee Rice over in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. It was like, hey, enough. Okay? Just be ready when I'm ready. And right. Everything will be fine. But every time you hear Patrick Mahomes talk in the public, it's like, yeah, I love this team. We're great guys. But, like, you can't be afraid. But you can understand the pressure that comes with it. Like, if you drive a Ferrari,
right,
you're driving that a little more cautious than you're driving your Bronco.
Oh, sure.
Right.
Yeah,
and you drive
right.
your Bronco pretty cautious.
I do, yeah.
But
yeah.
It ain't a sports car that can go 0 to 100 in, you know,
right.
80 seconds, an hour long. I don't know cars. But, like, you're a little more cautious. There's a little more pressure driving that thing, a little bit more, you know, coherent and being able to watch. Whereas, like, if you're in your everyday vehicle, if you're in your Daniel Jones, you're like, yeah, hang a right. All right, take a left. All right, whatever. But with Mahomes and a three-peat and the history that is all within this franchise and the way that this team has moved, like, yeah, there's pressure. But, like, if you're not about it, get out of here. Like, there's certain people that are about it and love it and live for it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't sound like this guy is.
It doesn't sound like it. Here's how he started this comment, right? It makes it so much more stressful, Chiefs passing game coordinator Joe Blamire told ESPN Wednesday of the Super Bowl week about coaching Patrick Mahomes. You feel the burden as a coach and as you're putting a game plan together to not waste his abilities.
Yeah, well, that's pressure.
Yeah, that's the NFL, though. I mean, that's you should feel that pressure whether you're coaching Patrick Mahomes or you're coaching Daniel Jones. And you want to talk about stressful. Like, Patrick Mahomes, I guarantee you Patrick Mahomes has covered up a lot of mistakes that have been made on that field by players, coaches, and everybody involved, just like they've covered up mistakes that Patrick Mahomes has made, right? Everybody covers for everybody. It should not be more stressful coaching Patrick Mahomes than it is coaching anybody else. What should be stressful is like Brian Daboll having to deal with Tommy Cutlets, or whoever coaches the Jets having to deal with Aaron Rodgers, or whoever coaches, you know, Arizona and Kyler Murray, or the Cowboys, or whatever team out there that doesn't have Patrick Mahomes. That's the stressful part about it, because you're sitting there thinking to yourself, oh my God, I'm coaching for my job. I don't have the proper quarterback. I am stressed out about this. You have Patrick Mahomes. The only stress you should have is wondering how many Super Bowls you're going to win with this guy and putting him in that position to be successful. There shouldn't be any stress, if you would, on this coaching staff, or more stressful than anything else, because you got a guy that covers up so many mistakes out there that if you do make a mistake as the coaching staff, Pat's going to cover it up and it's going to look great and we're going to move on and we're going to continue to matriculate the ball down the field. I mean, to sit there and say we're trying not to screw it up as the coaching staff, I'm not buying that at all. Andy Reid is not that type of coach who sits around trying not to screw things up. Andy Reid is a win-at-all-costs guy and doing whatever it takes to win. And these comments, man, like, they're concerning to me. I don't like those comments by Joe Blamire, the passing game coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs. Sit there and saying it's stressful to coach Patrick Mahomes. I'll show you Patrick Mahomes and raise you two Daniel Joneses, bro.
1 to 100 miles per hour in 80 seconds. LOL. I knew I botched it.
Did you say 80 seconds?
I don't know.
I totally missed that.
LOL. 80 seconds and 85 Corolla gets to 100 faster than that.
Is that my mother texting in? Because that was her car for all those years.
That's awesome.
Nathan, you look like you got something on your mind over there.
I was just going to say, I think one of us could get to 100 faster than
that's
80
probably
seconds.
Yeah, running.
It's a day of love, guys. Day of love.
I'm glad you guys picked it up because I totally missed it thinking about how much stress Joe Blamire's under trying to coach
Patrick Mahomes.
Can
you tell me what Joe Blamire does for the Chiefs?
Passing game coordinator.
But, I mean, you have Reed, you have Nagy, there's a quarterback coach, there's a passing game coordinator.
There's a lot of people, yeah.
What exactly are we talking about?
Well, he coordinates the passing game. It's right there in the title, right?
Got it. Yeah. Thanks, coach. Yeah.
You got it, yeah. passing game coordinator, I don't know. Like, that's a nice term for an assistant. Maybe you get bumped up, you get a better title or something of that nature.
I do get what he's saying in the sense of you have this Ferrari, as you said, Dusty, and you don't want to mismanage it.
Right.
I do get that at its core, but I don't
There's
understand.
A way to go about it. Like, hey, man, we're trying to maximize Patrick Mahomes for winning as many Super Bowls as we possibly can, and we are stressed as the coaching staff to make sure we put together the best game plan for him to go execute. Yeah.
Didn't need to be said in the way that it was.
No, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. And I can tell you there are people in the organization who aren't real happy about this article right now, nor should they be, right?
Mm-hmm. No doubt. Coming up on the other side, we wrap up our season with Mitch Holthus, the voice of the Chiefs, one last time on a Friday. We no longer have to stay focused, or maybe we do. We'll find out from the man himself, Mitch Holthus, plus what Charles O'Minihue had to say about Travis Kelce and what we think they need to do with Charles O'Minihue here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports. Continuing to power through on a Friday. Good morning, guys. Watching you on the big screen from home today. Just seeing Dusty on the screen, but that's okay. Well, it's not okay because that's the lesser of the two.
We got a thing going on with the computers or something, right?
Always. Cody's somewhere diabolically scheming these cameras.
Oh, yeah.
They'll work fine for Gold and Binkley.
Oh. No, it's just Binkley later today. Gold is off. Oh, Cody's off. Binkley rolling solo at 10 o'clock.
What are
those
guys taking off for? They're still mad about the loss.
Very, very mad about the Super Bowl and whatnot, I guess. So.
Cody or Drew walks in this building, the cameras work.
It's weird.
I've been telling Dusty that for a year now. Cody is a saboteur with the cameras, right? There's a certain switch that only Cody knows about because immediately they start working. I don't know.
It's weird.
Just saying.
It's weird. We are giving out Valentine's Day shout-outs to your significant other from the 785. I'd like to wish my amazing girlfriend Jessica a happy Valentine's Day from Shannon.
There you go. Happy birthday or happy birthday. Happy Valentine's Day. Either way.
Happy Valentine's Day for my wife. Happy Valentine's Day to my wife Ashley, married 25 and dated for 5. This is our 30th Valentine's Day. Coach Cates.
Way to go, Coach Cates. Love you, Jake.
There you go.
Hey, how's UMKC doing this year, Jake?
How you doing, Jake? So Charles O'Minihue, he was on that show with that one guy that thought the Chiefs were not going to beat the Texans.
Right.
And this is, what he said about Travis Kelce, cause he says you can't really go out like that.
This would be like my message to Trav, big dog, like we whole organization, we can't go out like that. You know, like he's a Hall of Famer from the moment he says I'm done. Right. So, but I think Trav has a lot left. I think Trav is an extreme competitor. I think he's somebody that loves the game. And I think in the storied career that he's had, going out like that, in my opinion, wouldn't be something that he would do. So I believe that he'll be back. I believe that he'll give it one more go. We have guys coming back on that team, you know, that Rasheed's going to be back. So that's going to help out the offense. And I think it's the whatever holes that the team has, Coach Reed and Brent do a great job of, like, you know, getting on top of it real quick. They're not going to overlook anything that may have been a reason why we didn't come out on top. So it's going to be a retool, refuel and get back to it. And we have Pat. So you know for a fact that you're going to be in the dance.
That's facts.
So, like, it's like, all right, like, he's not coming back to, maybe we might get to the, like, you know, for a fact, sure. Like, they're going to be in there, and probably for a fact that you're going to be in that championship game.
So, again, this is Charles O'Minihue, who was on FS1 yesterday, and he was talking about how you can't go out like that. And again, yeah. I think that's a lot of people's mindset with Travis Kelce. And I think the other thing that you have to be wary of is that it's Travis Kelce's career. You have to let him do what he wants to do and have his fun. And again, I think he's like a lot of these players. I think they're still shell shocked the way that game went.
Yeah.
And his comments on New Heights that we played yesterday of like, you know, I'm going to kick the can, you know, as far as I can down the road to see where I get at, what I want to feel like. And there's two different sides of this story. There's the one that is, you know, kind of like where I'm at, where it's like, it's been a good career. Do what you want to do. Take the time you need. And if it's a day, it's a day. If it's more to come, then saddle up and let's do it. The other side is, man, you just can't go out like that with his career.
That's where I am.
And I get that. Like, I mean, it was a bad loss. And, you know, you saw the video of Mahomes and Kelce, like, hugging on the sideline. Like, you know, love you, brother. Love you, too. Thanks for everything you've done. There was no comment of, we'll do it. We'll be back next year. There's no comment of, hey, you know, we'll be in St. Joe soon. We'll revamp it. We'll get it back. It was just more so like just complete depleted feeling of, I mean, we got our ass kicked. Yeah. That's exactly what happened.
I mean, you were in that locker room. You saw what it was terrible. Like in there. It was the worst locker room. I mean, that was worse than 2014 after we lost game 7 to the Giants. And then being in that locker room, there was there was down feeling in that locker room, but nothing like we saw in that Super Bowl. Right?
I was in the Royals locker room when they lost to the Yankees. And Bobby's in tears and just completely disheveled and everything. But half of the guys, Q included, were more so like, hey, don't hang your head. This is a great season. Just feel great. I know the loss sucks. Whereas that locker room the Chiefs were in, it was like the world was over.
And it should have been. I mean, that was,
I mean, it was, you know, it was, you could hear a pin drop.
Yeah, it was quiet, man. And Charles Omenihu, by the way, if he's telling me to do something, I'm listening. I mean, that guy is a beast. But I feel that way. Like, put yourself in those shoes. Would that be the way you want to go out? Like, if you were Travis Kelce, you've had this storied career, and then in that Super Bowl, you were a non-factor. In fact, did not play well at all. People got the Zapruder film out on Travis Kelce and whatnot, looking at, you know, what he did right and what he did wrong in that game. If I'm Travis Kelce from a competitor standpoint, I'm thinking to myself, that's not the way I want to go out. And that's why you don't make that rash decision this week or next week. You do take that time. You got about a month until the league year starts on, you know, March 14th, when you kind of have to have a decision so the team can decide what they're going to do. But I don't think it needs to be a rash decision. I think Travis Kelce will sit back, take a couple of weeks off, and realize, I don't want that to be the last memory that I have of playing football. And I sure as hell don't want that to be the last memory the Chiefs fans have of me playing football. So let me come back for one more year. That's how I would do it. Because had they won the Super Bowl and he had a good game, I would say, see you later, man. Ride that thing off into the sunset. But after having that individual performance that he had, I'd want to come back and redo this thing all over again.
I would also say my resume speaks for itself, and one game, unfortunately being the Super Bowl in a blowout, shouldn't speak for what
you're
my
right,
career was.
But so many people are talking about that now.
It's so,
I mean,
it's still fresh, though. It's new. So, I mean, everybody is focused on that game and focused on what Travis Kelce is going to do. And for the last time of this football season,
stay focused, Dusty.
It's time for Mitch. It is that time for the final time of this football season. I can't say the year because they'll play football this year.
Yeah.
And I don't want Fesco to
now, it won't be me, it'll be the text line.
That's right. But it is Mitch Holder, by Silverside Eye Centers and GEHA. Mitch, how you doing, my man? Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah, same to you. Well, I'm hanging in there.
Okay.
The cliche phrase, but that's where we're at.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Are you over it yet?
No.
Okay.
No, but I'm not going to wallow in it. And that's why this Chiefs team has been able to win for 12 years and win the highest level of any team in this league for a span of 7 years, is that you handle flashpoints, but you move on. And just like if we would have had a parade probably yesterday because of the snow on Wednesday, we would have moved on. I'm gonna give you an example, because I'm going to tell you who the tip of the spear is on this, is Brett Veach and his staff, because they are forced, you know, the coaches can kind of stand down and goes into a little bit of a they've been grinding away, but Beach's crew can't stop. So I get the same video from Brett the day after the parade a year ago that I got yesterday, and that is they're in there grinding. So you don't – it stings. It hurts. You wear it. You wear it. You don't run from it. I mean, Lord knows, I'm not – I'm getting hammered on social by Eagles fans.
They suck.
And Bengals fans and Bills fans. And that's fine. And people even in this city who don't particularly like the Chiefs, like they're just – that's okay. I mean, it comes with it. But you don't sit there and wallow in it because that becomes a more devastating issue if you sit there and, you know, wallow in the manure. So you've got to push on and press on. And that's where Brett Beach's guys are at and gals, as they're right there and moving on. They can't stop, whether it's good or bad. And that's why this team has been able to win consistently.
Well, I mean, Brett has done an unbelievable job at building this team. Yep. And after the game was over and he started to kind of, for my fault, I guess, consume the national nitwits and what they had to say, you would have thought that the Chiefs had never been here before, had never done this. They were a flash in the pan. This thing's over. They're never going to be able to rebound. And I'm thinking they're going, yeah, Brett Veach is in charge here. Like, this guy knows how to draft. This guy knows how to sign players. This guy knows how to build a team. And Andy Reid pretty much knows how to coach them and, you know, gets the best out of everybody. Like, I think you all are writing this team off way too soon. I mean, but this is where Brett Veach really shines now.
And infrastructure. Let's don't leave the Hunts out of this and Clark Hunt, because what's overlooked here is the investment that the team continues to make to work the salary cap. You know, there's something called cash over cap. And even if you kick the can, so to speak, down the road or amateurize contracts in the camp, many times that takes cash up front. And Clark Hunt and the Hunt family continues to stay invested in doing what Brett and coach need to have. So if you have the infrastructure the Chiefs have, and you have a Hall of Fame head coach, and you have a Hall of Fame quarterback, and probably what ought to be a Hall of Fame executive, but he doesn't get enough credit, mm-hmm. and then guys like Chris Shay. Chris Shay is as brilliant as a guy there is in this league at working the cap and understanding it and making everything work. Now, there's going to be real challenges coming up here in the next – there are, but – when you have infrastructure, it's just like when you face a family crisis. If your family is strong and your faith is strong, you can handle it. But you also move on. You move on from celebration. Some people get stuck. Human nature wants to stay there. Can't. You press on. And the same thing with getting your face beat in like we did. I mean, we got beaten up. Let's just face it. But then you move on. You don't sit there and wallow in it or you're going to lose again. It's the guy that makes the error in baseball and it's so freaked out, he's going to make two more.
Right.
So that's where I'm at this morning. Is yeah, my gut still hurts, but I trust in the infrastructure and the people that are running this team.
But you mentioned cap versus cash, and I think that's an important thing to touch on, especially with the new stadium conversation taking place. And for me, the cash is you got to have the cash on hand to give these signing bonuses out. Like if you sign somebody to a deal, the salary cap is mythical, but that $35 million, that shows up in somebody's bank account direct deposit that day. You've got to have that cash on hand. And that's why for me, the new stadium with the stuff around the stadium and being able to generate money 365 days of the year is what this team needs in order to compete from a cash standpoint, because somebody else could come in and offer more cash than the Hunts may have on hand.
Well, I know we're going to talk about this in the days ahead, and I know it's a touchy subject, but you're dead on. There's a way. Think about how the Chiefs and GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium are off-season revenue generators, whether that's, you know, Kenny Chesney or Post Malone or other concerts you have, but you have just struck the nerve that has to happen, because all of us, you, me, Dusty, everybody listening, have got to set up something that people are going to be able to succeed in long after we're gone. This is a 50 to 75 year decision. And what has to happen is, you're right, a 363 day revenue stream,
right,
that helps this team and that's where the Hunts are. That's where Clark is. And the fact that he's willing to work and make those investments now. The other cash over cap thing is when guys restructure, let's say Joe Tooney restructures. Well, to do that, you amortize his salary, but then you also have upfront cash you have to give these guys so that they can make it palatable for them. That's not the right word, that to make it beneficial for them and still stretch out their salary or a signing bonus. But that means they get the cash up front. That means you have to have an owner who has the cash, willing to give the cash to do those necessary moves, in addition to the cash that you give out for free agents. So that's my point. This is where the Chiefs are. It's where they've been. It's where they will be. And the fact that this doesn't change anything. You took a torpedo. It's the Pacific Theater where the Yorktown and Enterprise take damages from the enemy, but you repair them and get back to sea and you win the Battle of Midway. I mean, you stay in the water, and that's where the Chiefs are because of their infrastructure.
Mitch, you've been around this team. We're talking to Mitch Holthus, the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. You've been around this team enough, and I know that, you know, maybe you're not expecting this question, but I think you'll respect the question. There's not a person on this planet in that plays in the NFL that I love to see when the entire country seems to go against them, and that is Patrick Mahomes. I, my friend, as of right now, probably by the end of next week, will place a futures bet that he wins the MVP because of everything that's being said, everything that was being seen, and everything that's being mentioned about Patrick Mahomes. I just feel, and maybe I'm a homer and I've got Chiefs rose-colored glasses on, I just think he's going to come back next year and scorch the damn earth.
Let's just talk about him. I'm going to throw Coach Reed in here, too, because hear me out on this, boys. Patrick Mahomes has had to grind for everything he's got. Even though his dad played MLB and he was in, he's in clubhouses and all that. He goes to White House High School. He's really under-recruited. Nobody really recruited him. Tech got found in because they were recruiting a wide receiver at his school. And they all think he's going to play baseball, so people back off on him. He's been underappreciated, even at Tech. Like, he's the crazy guy that throws for 700 yards, but he's got so many flaws that he's not taken 1-1 in the draft. Well, he's become the best quarterback in the league. He is driven by what you just said. The fact that he's also got, I'm talking, this inner strength, this infrastructure that can be in every one of us, he's got it. I mean, he's with his seventh grade girlfriend, right? He's got three children. He's got the dude's a grinder and a fighter, and just the fact that someone would doubt him or take these shots at him is stupid. If you're a competitor of his, I'd send him flowers and candy and go, gosh, you know, hey, I think you're okay.
Yeah.
Because he's going to use it against you. But Andy's the same way. He just won't. You know, he's not as vociferous about it, but Andy will come at you, and Andy sees all this stuff. He knows all of it, and it fuels him because he, too, he goes to JUCO. He's gonna go to maybe USC. He's a top player in high school in L.A., but he tears up his knee. He's got to go to Glendale JUCO. Then he goes to BYU, but then he coaches at San Francisco State, Northern Arizona, UTEP. He goes to places where you have to grind. You don't have budget. These guys are grinders. They're not front runners. And when I saw some of the criticism on social about being front runners, that's the kind of stuff that makes me mad, is that they disrespect these guys for what they really are. So, yeah, you're on it, because this will just make Patrick fire up more. He'll just try to figure it out all the more. So will Coach.
What do you think Travis is going to do?
If you guys can play the 20 minutes, I told this to CDOT the other day. See if Speck can find this. It's the interview I had with him on Chiefs Kingdom show. It's in November. He's a special guest. Hy-Vee has a special night at the Hall of Honor, and it was awesome. And we just had 20 minutes, and we got 12 years together, and all that kind of came oozing out. Let me just give you both sides of this, because I don't know. That's the answer. If he goes, I say go in peace. I just figured out. He's played 11,000 snaps. 11,000. And he's the number one pass catcher in Super Bowl history. He has led us to 3 Super Bowl championships. We all know what he's done. So it's his body to me. I heard you saying before I came on the air, and I would agree with you. He doesn't want to close out on a 40-22 loss and people taking shots at him like he didn't play well. But it's going to be about his body, you guys. He gets away, but they all these guys know their bodies. And he will, because he does not slack off. He'll be working 9-on-7 inside run drill at camp or long drive drill at mandatory mini camp or OTAs, and he's doing it just like he's Peyton Hendershot. So he's thinking, can my body do this? That's the biggest, I think that's going to be his decision box. Now, we've also had some melancholy moments. There have been a lot of hugs with him over the past 60 days. And I don't know what that means. What it means is that I respect the dude more than ever. And if he goes into the sunset, I'm going to think, man, I had 12 of the best years of my life with that cat. Mm-hmm. But if he comes back, he will grind as hard as Coach and Pat and everybody else. He's got his body. His body will make this decision.
Mitch, we'll wrap up our yearly football conversations with what you think this team accomplished this year for your 2024-2025 Chiefs.
Still be a historic team. And I wore my AFC championship ring to the Chiefs Kingdom show the other night, Dusty. It's the only time I've ever worn it. Now, I had someone I respect in our organization that when we got it in 2020, he said, that's a loser's ring. You don't wear that. That's Miss Congeniality. And I said, no, not this one, because it's COVID year. 2020, COVID. Swabs up your nose at 5:30 in the morning. You're taking your temperature every 10 minutes. You don't want to get Mahomes or Kelsey sick or you become a news story. You got people breathing down your neck. Stay healthy, stay healthy. All right, that's what that ring was, even though we lost in the Super Bowl and Super Bowl 55. This year, similar kind of feeling. There were a bunch of guys and gals in that organization that were determined to do something that's never been done, and they did. No other team has won the back-to-back Super Bowls and even made it back to a third. They did. And the fact that we got nailed in the Super Bowl doesn't deter from the fact that this was a remarkable group of humans who basically leaned on each other in all three phases, work ethic, injuries, kept battling, all the attributes I've given you the last 20 minutes. They carried on and almost got it done, got to the game. Nobody's ever done it. Not the Niners, not the Cowboys, not the Patriots. None of them. None of them. Steelers, none of them. The Chiefs did. And we'll keep fighting back. We'll swing away. But this 2024 team did a whole lot more than lose a Super Bowl. And that's where I'm going to remember these gals and guys, because this was an incredible run, and an incredible run that was based on resolve. A unique resolve that you rarely see in sports or life, and you really rarely see it in professional sports, because it took unselfishness, and that's what these guys had.
Well, Mitch, I know the season doesn't ever end for you, but if you do get time to relax and stay focused on the off season, I hope you enjoy that. We thank you for everything that you gave us this year. We can't wait to do it again next year and go on a scorched earth mentality.
No, you guys are great. I love 96.5 The Fan, Spec, everybody. Rock fans, incredible. But we press on. Guys, we're in the fact that we have all these haters is fine. The fact we still have the greatest quarterback to ever play based on his first 7 years as a starter, and we have a Mount Rushmore head coach. We'll take that into the next year and attack it.
We'll be just fine, Mitch. Thank you very much. We'll talk soon.
See you, boys. Thank you.
Go draft.
There you go. Mitch Holt is brought to you by Silverstone Eye Centers and GEHA. Coming up on the other side, there was an article from Vanity that gave the best acting roles according to, or performances according to, the article in Vanity of the 21st Century. We'll do that plus our top five Chiefs of this year's run. Bob Fesco, Nathan, Dusty Likens with you on 96.5 The Fan, your home Kansas City Sports. Happy Valentine's Day, Kansas City. We are doing you a favor because you'll do us a favor. You tell us who to give your Valentine's Day wishes out to, and then you tell them to listen to 96.5 The Fan. We are much appreciative of that. From the 913, happy Valentine's Day to Dusty from all the men at Chippendales. Respect.
Nice.
Yeah.
Is Chippendale still a thing? And I'm asking in all seriousness. Like, does that exist? Or is that only in Las Vegas? Or where?
I think it's in Vegas.
Yeah.
I think they're still there with a bow tie around the neck and nothing else and just pants.
Yeah. Chris Farley. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Happy Valentine's Day to my cat, Stella, I guess.
Did she get her groove back?
I hope so. Great beer. It used to be a payday beer.
Boy, Stella is one of those beers for me where I had like 17 in one night and haven't had one since.
Yeah, nowadays I moved from Stella to Peroni's, a great beer, an Italian lager. Show my wife saying happy Valentine's Day to my wife from YouTube. It may be a Tuesday on a Friday for me, if you know what I mean.
Hey, if we can help, let's go.
I mean... I'm not saying I'm hitch, but if a simple Valentine's Day shout out can get you laid.
That's great.
Hey, how you doing?
Yeah. Right? Go for it, man. Hitch was a good movie, too.
It was okay.
I think I watched it 1,000 times.
I can't do Kevin James.
Because I told you about Kevin James?
No, I've just never been a huge fan.
Because Kevin James was the most disappointing interview I've ever done. And my co-host at the time was like, do not bring him on. We were at the Super Bowl in Tampa in 2009. I'm like, oh no, we're gonna have. He goes, he's terrible. You're gonna be disappointed.
And he
boy,
was.
He was terrible, and I was.
Want to wish my 3-year-old daughter Juliet a happy Valentine's Day. We'll see if she hears it. We're on our way to daycare now. Hopefully, it was a long drive. Happy Valentine's Day to Emily. We're getting married next week in Vegas, and then we're headed to spring training. Love you, Gabe. All right, nice. Happy Valentine's Day to my mom. She's the best. Moms are the best. Happy Valentine's Day to my dude, KJ, 28 years strong. Love, KJ. I don't know if that was a shout-out to himself or to somebody they actually know. So, but no, Valentine's Day wishes for you. Happy Valentine's Day to Emily. We're getting, he already sent that. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Female listener, happy Valentine's Day to my sons, Levi and Lincoln. Thanks, Dusty and Bob, for starting our day with sports and some laughs. And then somebody says, happy Valentine's Day to our favorite regular, Dusty Bazookas.
Mm.
Okay.
When was the last time you went to Bazookas?
Nice. Apparently, I'm a regular.
Honestly, when was the last time you went to Bazookas? I don't think I've been. I mean, I know I haven't been since we moved back in 2010. I mean, that was, you know, the Bazookas and Cigar Box were a little random frequent back in the day. But, I mean, yeah, I haven't been there in 15, 20 years probably. You, Nathan, last night, as you said?
What I said. Well, Dusty, you're an equal opportunity consumer there. I can appreciate that. Chippendales, Bazookas, just the gamut.
Live life, man.
Yeah.
V-Day PSA, parents, lock your bedroom doors tonight. No kid needs to hear the we are wrestling trauma. Well, never happened to me, so hopefully it never happens to anybody else.
I never caught my parent. I don't know if they ever did once we were conceived. I mean, honestly, I don't know. My kids, on the other hand, forget about it.
An early time to respect the text. If you drink too many Italian beers and become dependent, you have Peyronie's disease.
Yeah. It's really good.
So, gosh. Dusty, can I get a shout out to Donovan's mom? Oh, Donovan Morris on Valentine's Day. We're in the car now. Happy Valentine's Day to Donovan Morris. Happy V-Day to 96.5 The Fan. Sponsored by Mike. He's got this.
He's got it.
That's right. So Vanity created an article of the top 100 acting roles of 21st century.
So we're 25 years into the century already, which, my God.
Yeah, right?
And so it feels like yesterday was Y2K, but like here we are 25 years in. So who do they have on the list?
So number one is not Walter White.
I thought it was just movies.
No, it's TV show characters.
Oh, TV show characters. It's not Walter White, huh?
He is not number one.
Okay.
And I got to scroll because it's going to take some time. You will be redirected to your article in 15 seconds.
Oh, there you go. 15, 14, 13, so, 12. Yeah. How could it not be Walter White, though? I mean, I'm trying to think of like better TV character. Now, again, you're talking to the guy that's not a huge TV consumer, but I mean, like Walter White is one of the greatest of all time.
The top five will upset you.
Why is that?
Because you'll be either A, I've never heard of these characters, or B, like totally disagree. Because I didn't want to do like 10 because that's too much to bore people with their ears.
Yeah, the top five.
So just give you the top five. And I agree with some of these because some of these shows I've seen recently, like there's Succession, their character on there is on there in the top five.
I've heard that show is great, though. Like
I can't believe you haven't started it.
Yeah.
It's loosely based off of the Rupert Murdoch family and Fox.
Yeah.
And then how they, you know, do their daily stuff and how they really control a whole lot of stuff. It's very interesting. What's his name? Brian? Is it Brian Cox? Brian Cox is fantastic.
Oh, the former football player. I like him. Yeah.
It looks completely different nowadays on the show on HBO. If you're But I mean, Kenny Powers is on this list. He's like number 49.
But I mean, he was a great TV character. I mean, I don't think anybody would argue that, right?
No,
I mean, was there anything better than season one of Eastbound and Down from like a laugh out loud standpoint? I mean, that thing was hysterical.
There was a couple of scenes where I cried and laughter.
Oh yeah. Oh God, yeah. Then season two wasn't great, and then season
three. But
it
was hilarious.
Yeah,
season two is still hilarious.
I mean, but season one, it's so hard to match what season one of Eastbound and Down truly was.
All right, so. We'll start at, I'm sorry, Walter White is in the top five.
Okay.
So number six is Omar Little from The Wire.
Okay, yeah, number
so that's
six.
All right. So we'll start
Where's
there.
Bunk on the list? He's a big fan of the show.
He is. Called you on the streets of knowledge.
Yeah, it was great meeting him and his wife, Erica, who's from Kansas City. Bunk lives in Kansas City. He goes, you're Fesco in the morning? Yeah, because I listen to you guys.
And Bob's day, he was shot, like starstruck
I
the
mean,
rest of the day.
Starstruck.
He's like, dude. He called everybody his phone.
Oh, I mean, it was the coolest thing
and
ever,
he saw
man.
Joey Chestnut and he says, get this guy away from me. He's not on my level.
Yeah, I mean, like Bunk listens to the show, man. And Erica is his wife. Shout out to them. Great family here in Kansas City. Like, people are moving to KC, man.
So number five, top acting performance roles-wise on TV, number five is Walter White from Breaking Bad.
Okay. I'm good with six and five so far. Two unbelievable characters.
Number four is Valerie Cherish, who is played by Lisa Kudrow on the show The Comeback.
Okay.
Never seen it.
I have not seen that either. Doesn't mean it's not good, but I, you
good
know.
Good for Phoebe. Elizabeth Moss.
Smelly cat.
Elizabeth Moss as Peggy Olson from Mad Men. Great character.
Okay.
I don't know if you've ever seen Mad Men.
I've not seen Mad Men either, no. I'm bad.
No,
bad,
you're fine. Yeah. Number two, Jeremy Strong is Kendall Roy in Succession.
Okay.
Watch the
show. I gotta watch that.
You'll understand.
Okay.
He is absolutely fantastic in that show. He plays the eldest son. And he does very well at it. And then number one is, you might agree, Julia Dreyfus as Selena Meyer in Veep.
Oh my God, what a great show. I mean.
And she still got it in this picture.
Oh yeah. I mean, Julia Louis-Dreyfus always looks great, man. She looks fantastic. But that show Veep, hysterical. I mean,
number
so
one
good.
She won a ton of, what is it, Academy Awards for that show for lead character.
I'm surprised they gave it to a comedy, you know?
Yeah,
like, you
I
know,
mean, but I mean, it was, dude, Veep.
She was great.
Veep was like, for 3 years of the award shows, it was Julia Dreyfus, Veep, Julia Dreyfus, Veep. It was nonstop.
Yeah,
so
great show.
All those names, I don't know if you had someone in your shows, but all those names, I put together, who are your top five roles for the Chiefs players this year?
Yeah.
My list from one to five is Xavier Worthy, number one.
Mm-hmm.
From expectations to being so young to the way he played in the playoffs, the way he just was great season for Xavier Worthy. I think he's my number one.
He's my number one, too. And did you realize he led all rookie receivers in touchdowns this year?
Crazy.
By a long margin, right?
Crazy.
Like, people were talking about, oh, Xavier Worthy, is he any good? He had more touchdowns this year as a rookie wide receiver than any other wide receiver that was a rookie in the NFL this year. Magical season by Xavier Worthy. So, yeah, I've got him at number one on my list, too.
Number two, I have Chris Jones.
Okay.
Led the league in pressures. Was the second highest graded defensive lineman in the league this year, only behind Myles Garrett, who will be his teammate next year.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just speak that into fruition.
Right, yep.
Myles Garrett and Chris Jones will be teammates.
What if you have to pass on Travis Kelce for one more year to get Myles Garrett?
Sign me up.
Okay.
And then they can decide who wears 95.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah. I'll let those two duke that one out.
I'd pay to watch that.
Chris, the floor is yours. Decide.
Go for it, yeah. Actually, you can't wear one if you're Myles Garrett, because Worthy has that. But, you know, if I was Myles Garrett, I mean, give me number one. I have Kareem Hunt number two on this list, because this team isn't what they are without Kareem Hunt. Like, I didn't think we needed Kareem Hunt to come in here. He came in here, and he was just outstanding, man. He was great. He was just what we needed.
Yeah, I thought he was great for his role, coming off the couch.
Yeah.
Number three for me was Joe Tooney.
Okay.
Just the role he played. I know the Super Bowl doesn't judge what he did all season, but for what he had to do starting in week, like, 13, 14.
Week 15.
When he had to play left tackle, go from left guard, and be exceptional for the rest of the season and into the playoffs, obviously the Super Bowl was a different story because they went against some real grown-ass men on a defensive line. Joe Tooney was number three for me in big roles for the Chiefs this year.
I got Patrick Mahomes at number three this year. He's not going to get enough credit for how good a season it was, but I mean, when you have a rookie lead the league in touchdowns this year, or Worthy leading the rookies in touchdowns this year, that's pretty impressive. I thought the way he blended all his receivers with all the injuries that took place on the receiving core, that took place on the offensive line, all the changes, like, Patrick just continued to adjust. I hope Blamire wasn't too stressed out about it.
Number four for me is Mahomes, just because since that week 11 game against Buffalo, he just happened to have his, again, worst game of the season against the Philadelphia Eagles in the Super Bowl. But, I mean, didn't have a turnover. since week 11. Obviously, you can blame him or Pacheco in that Buffalo game with the fumble, but took care of business against Buffalo, took care of business against Houston in the playoffs, went on that run, went 15-1 as a starter on the back of a three-peat run, got to the Super Bowl. Mahomes has great numbers after week 11, that Buffalo game. So, I mean, Mahomes did more than people can think and led this team to a 15-1 record.
Yeah, so, number four. So, you have him four. I have McDuffie number four on the list. I thought he had a fantastic season, man. Like, it's hard to judge when they don't throw to your side of the field, but that's how you judge because they don't throw to your side of the field. And as Nate Taylor talked about yesterday, I think he's one that you start to talk about being a cornerstone of your organization moving forward.
He's fifth on my list. Just because he's important and what he did, and then still the sickest thing of the year they did was catch the interception by checking out the Jumbotron, seeing which side of the field it was on. Turned out it was his turned around pick.
Yeah, that was awesome. And then for me, number five is Bolton because he's just a tackling machine, and he won a couple of games, especially that Atlanta game for you, making some big plays. He may be gone after this season, but Nick Bolton had quietly a really nice season for this team.
He's not one, he's not two, but he's three, and it's baseball talk on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan. You're home for Kansas City sports.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.